It's said that in Southern California, we have no history. Local institutions rise and then fall to the wrecking ball. But some things survive through the decades, thrilling and inspiring new generations. And preservationists work to keep those local icons fresh for generations to come. We take a look at the 100-year history of the Hollywood sign, recently honored for its preservation efforts in restoring the beloved landmark. The Rose Bowl's history as well reaches back more than a century, and it's preparing for many events to come. And Hollywood's beloved Magic Castle has a new owner dedicated to keeping the magic alive for patrons and practitioners of prestidigitation. Fox 11 News In Depth starts right now. Hello, everyone. I'm Hal Eisner. One of the most eye-catching icons of Los Angeles stands on a hill overlooking Tinseltown. When it was built, it was a publicity stunt, not intended to last long. And like many L.A. residents, her history includes a brush with tragedy and an interlude with a playboy. We're talking, of course, about the Hollywood sign. The old girl is turning 100 this year, and joining us to talk about that is Hollywood Sign Trust Chairman Jeff Zarinum. And Jeff, good to have you here. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Hal.
It's a big birthday.
It is. 100 years old. Can you believe it?
And, you know, when you started this thing, it wasn't exactly what you planned on. But I want to sort of get to the celebration part of this, because on October 31st, it's going to be Hollywood Sign Day.
Hollywood Sign Day is celebrated in Los Angeles.
At City Hall.
At City Hall, 10 o'clock, I think, or 10:30.
And what's going to happen there?
Well, the Nithya Raman, the council member for CD4, which is where the Hollywood sign resides, is going to be introducing a motion to basically celebrate the history of the Hollywood sign and celebrate its 100th anniversary.
So we talk about the notion that this started off as a publicity stunt.
It was really an advertisement to sell land in Hollywood land.
Right.
Right.
That was the real estate. That was
the name of the real estate company called Hollywood Land. And they said, well, in order to attract people into this new development area up in the hills, there was nothing. You have to imagine 100 years ago, there was really nothing in Hollywood, right. No homes.
And we're looking at images from there. If you look at the monitor,
yeah,
there, you can see some of the images from
exactly way
back when. And so it was Hollywood Land. And tell us a little bit about Hollywood Land as it was then.
Well, Hollywood Land was, there was just bare land up in the hills there, and they were trying to attract people to buy lots to build for people to build their own homes.
All right, and so how many times has this sign that has gone from Hollywood Land to Hollywood lost little pieces of the letters and this, that, and the other? How many times has this thing been refurbished?
Well, it's been refurbished a lot. I mean, there was even a letter back in 1936 or 39 from the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce to say, tear down the sign because it's becoming so dilapidated. So eventually the sign was given to the city of Los Angeles, the land underneath it and the dilapidated sign, the O had actually fallen down, as well as the H. And the Hollywood Chamber of Commerce came to its rescue in 1949 and propped up the H and started refurbishing the sign ever since.
You know, I'm just thinking to myself, I'm one for self-effacing humor, and I keep seeing Hollywood there. And I'm like, you know, it is what it is.
Are you one of those pranksters, Hal? You want to change that O into an A?
No, I'm not going to do that. But there have been pranksters over the years.
There have been pranksters over the years.
There was a time when that sign said Hollyweed.
That's twice.
Yeah.
Twice.
What was the story behind that?
Well, they were trying to promote, you know, weed, and they eventually got their way. You know, weed is now legal.
It's a big tourist attraction.
The Hollywood sign is a big tourist attraction, for sure. I mean, I was just up there last week, and I was doing another interview at the sign. We got to get you up there one day. But when I was coming back up the hill, there was a lady and her sister from the UK, and she thought she saw Brad Pitt or something. Because it took her 30 years to get to the Hollywood sign, and she was so ecstatic. And I always have a favorite question that I ask people. I said, "What does the Hollywood sign mean to you?" And she thought about it for a millisecond, and she said, "The Hollywood sign is America."
Is oh, really? America.
Yeah. Can you believe that? So she was just beside herself.
Well, what is it about this sign? I mean, it's letters.
It's nine letters on top of a hill, right? But it means so much to so many different people because it has so many different meanings. It could be, it represents Hollywood as the place, but it also represents the signature industry of Hollywood, which is the movies, television, radio, the news. I won't forget the news.
Well, of course.
But you know, I mean, you know, and all of that. So people have their favorite movies, and it just reminds them of all of that. But it also means even more than that. It reminds people of their aspirations in life, their motivations, their hopes and dreams. So it means so many different things to so many different people, which is why I always ask, what does the Hollywood sign mean to you when I meet people at the sign?
It was never really designed to last 100 years.
No, it wasn't. It was built to last 18 months because they thought they would sell out all those lots within 18 months.
And that would be the end of it.
And that would be the end of it, and then they would take it down. But it lasted a lot. It's lasted up to today.
Can you tell us any little secrets about it?
Any little secrets? Well, for years I've been saying that each letter is 45 feet high.
Right.
And just recently we hired a company called Apex Asbuilds to do a complete digital mapping of the sign and all the letters and how the letters are positioned on the hill in case there was any catastrophe. Well, we learned that the Y is actually 14 and a quarter inches higher.
Oh, is that right?
Than all the other letters. So that's just a new revelation that just happened. Yeah.
Breaking news,
I know.
But you know, it's interesting. I mean, we look at these images here on our screens, and, you know, this is such a famous piece of real estate right here. And there's talk about a visitor center. There's been a little chatter about that.
Yeah, a few years ago, the city of Los Angeles came up with a tourism plan. And one of those, and which I participated in, and in that plan is to create a Hollywood sign visitor center. Now, why is that? There is really no infrastructure beneath the sign. It wasn't designed to be this tourist attraction that we see today. So there's no infrastructure below the sign. It's just residential area. It's in a residential neighborhood. And there's no infrastructure to really accommodate all the people that want to come and see the sign. So the city came up with a plan to build a Hollywood Sign Visitor Center, which is, you know, kind of spearheaded by the Hollywood Sign Trust. To do that, we're inundated with emails. How do I see the sign? How much do I pay to see the sign? There is no charge to see the sign, but it's up in Griffith Park. But there, people want a lot more. They want to know about the history. They want to know about, you know, can I come and see the sign?
And that's where a visitor center would make sense.
Exactly. So if we can build a Hollywood Sign Visitor Center on the backside of maybe the Mount Lee, then it would redirect all that traffic to behind the sign where the 134 freeway is and have that nice visitor center there and maybe have some kind of shuttles that bring people up to the sign.
And of course, that traffic is an issue for residents who are always concerned about those
Correct.
Sort of things.
And we're trying to accommodate the residents, trying to help them. So having a Hollywood Sign Visitor Center away from those neighborhoods below the sign makes perfect sense.
We're out of time for the segment, but I do want you to tell folks if they want to come up and see it, did they check out your website?
You can come to our website. It's hollywoodsign.org. The Hollywood Sign Trust is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. If you want to go and donate, there's a donate button there, too. But hollywoodsign.org is where you go, and there are certain trails that you can go up and visit the Hollywood Sign.
All right, Jeff Zarinum, thanks so much for joining us. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, another local icon is just over 100 years old this year. Pasadena's Rose Bowl has been the center of sports and entertainment life in Southern California for decades. A new California law is going to make that stadium even better. We'll tell you all about it on the other side of the break. Don't go away. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Good to see you. Interesting stories.
Yeah, there's a lot more. Yeah.
Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. An iconic stadium opened on October 28th. Of 1922, and is one of the most famous venues in sporting history. It's the home to UCLA and to other college football games and championships, Super Bowls, World Cups, the Olympics, countless concerts. We're talking, of course, about the Rose Bowl. Joining us to talk about the Rose Bowl, Dedan Prezzino, the Chief Development Officer and President of the Rose Bowl Legacy Foundation. And, Dedan, thanks for being with us. Good to see you.
Thanks for having us, Hal. Thanks for all you do for the community.
Well, thank you so much. That's very kind of you. I'm so impressed every time I go out to Pasadena, and I see that Rose Bowl, and it just stands there so stately, and so much stuff has happened there in 100 years.
Yeah, you know, you think about what 100 years means. It's such a multi-generational place, like a lot of things in this town, a lot of things in this country. And when you're talking about something that touches multiple demographics, multiple generations, multiple types of events, it's a really special heritage to talk about. I mean, there's a generation now, Hal, that knows us for Coldplay and Taylor Swift and the flea market. We're not just the college football stadium that we were born on 100 years ago.
We're looking at historical footage right there. Tell us a little bit about what we're looking at there.
This is when the stadium was built. So the stadium was built for a little less than $300,000 back in 1921-22, opened in 22 in October. Some local knowledge, USC actually played the first four football games there before it opened. And then the Rose Bowl game moved there in January of 1923 when it outgrew Tournament Park, which is on the Caltech campus. So this is what it looked like in the early, early days. It was actually a horseshoe.
Indiana is so interesting to look at those old pictures and to realize that those guys coming out of that hallway there and into the field to play a game, that was a big deal back then, as much as it is a big deal today.
Yeah, I think it was. I mean, Penn State brought 13 guys to the first Rose Bowl game in 1923. They traveled out here by train. Much, much different than the sports entertainment value that you and I see today on our home screens and things. And, you know, for us to continue to evolve and grow into what the modern day expectation is for fans is important as we continue to live on.
So you're 101 now, right? And Governor Newsom just signed this new legislation. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Senate Bill 96, it's a huge deal for us, huge, huge deal. It was sponsored by Senator Anthony Portantino right here in Southern California. Senator Portantino pushed this bill forward for us, and it's really called the Historic Venue Preservation and Restoration Act. And that Senate bill, what it'll do is it takes venues like the Rose Bowl. There's five qualifying venues throughout the state. It's us, the Hollywood Bowl, the LA Coliseum, San Jose State, and Cal Berkeley's Memorial Stadium. But what that does is it takes the tax dollars that we generate on a major event day, like a college football game, UCLA, a concert, and allows us to invest back into our historic infrastructure.
That's a lot of money.
So for the Rose Bowl, it'll equate somewhere in the $1 to $2 million a year range. But when you look at what those five venues mean to this state or what a historic venue means in general of our size and stature, the hotel rooms are full, the restaurants are full, retail space is huge. We're a tremendous economic driver throughout LA County. So for that Senate bill to get signed into law by the governor means an awful lot to us.
So you get to use this money now. What was it going for before?
It was just going back into the community. It was going back into the city.
So you weren't able to use that money before.
Correct. Yeah, it was going to the county, the state, the city. So what we're talking about through this Senate bill getting signed in is just the taxes that we generate on that event day, that singular day, get put back into the infrastructure to protect us for the next generation.
So what will you do with that money?
We'll put it into everything from resource management like water and gas, brick and mortar, facility enhancements, safety improvements. You know, we're 101, so as cool as that sounds and as good as those events look, you can imagine what a 101-year-old venue deals with and can look like should you not give it the care it needs on a day-to-day basis.
In the last segment, we were talking about the notion of that Hollywood sign lasting 100 years, and it was never meant to do that, but What about the Rose Bowl?
We've had to put a lot of elbow grease into it over the years. You know, it's beautiful that we can continue to have these impactful, emotional events for the next generation. And we're more vibrant than we've ever been. We've had more major events this year than ever before in 101-year history, but it's not without that elbow grease. You know, obviously you need the marketplace to continue to receive these events the way they need to be. And Los Angeles is one of the best sports entertainment marketplaces in the whole world. So for us, it's not just about what you see on TV. It's about taking care of the guts and the infrastructure at the venue as well.
But it's really just not football. I mean, It's the 4th of July. It's community events. It's the swap meet every month.
Yeah, it is. You know, the big events are what we see on Fox and on the major networks. You know, the smaller things that we don't talk about as much are those community impact events. We generate millions and millions of dollars a year through charitable events that use the Rose Bowl Loop, the Rose Bowl Stadium. The flea market is one of the longest running, if not the longest running, flea market in America. And people, you know, they furnish their houses through this flea market. So it's a really intensely emotional thing for people on a different level than maybe sports and entertainment is. And we're excited to be the host of all that.
So let's just take, we have less than a minute.
Sure.
What do you see down the road?
You know, we're not going anywhere. We're very excited about what's coming next. UCLA is joining the Big Ten Conference. We're a college football playoff site every year moving forward. And then the 2028 Olympic Games, we're one of the noted venues for that games. It'll be our third Olympic Games. We'll be the soccer venue for those games. And as LA lights up every venue that it has, we're excited to be part of that narrative. So that's what's next for us. We're focused on the global stage over the next 5-6 years.
And that'll be awfully exciting. I remember 1984 and how much fun that was. So thanks for being with us.
You got it, Hal. Thank
you. Appreciate it. Dean Brosino. And coming up next on Fox 11 News In Depth, A mysterious castle in the Hollywood Hills has been home to conjurers and illusionists since back in the 1960s. Its wood-paneled bars and drawing rooms belong to a private club, but we'll take you inside for a look right after this break. Don't go away. Welcome back to Fox 11 News In Depth. I'm Hal Eisner. Our next local icon might be the most famous secret place in Los Angeles. Built back in 1963 as a private club for magicians, the Magic Castle only allows access to members and their guests. But let's face it, pretty much everyone in L.A. knows about it and is dying to be granted access. Joining us right now is Erica Larson, president of Magic Castle Enterprises. She literally has magic in her blood with mother Irene Larson, father Bill Larson Jr., and uncle Milt Larson, who I remember fondly, being co-founders of the Magic Castle. Good to see you, Erica. Thanks for being with us. So much appreciated.
Thank you, Hal. Good to be here.
Well, the Magic Castle is such a special part of Los Angeles. It's, as we said, a private club for magicians, but a lot of people have visited the place. It's just so amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about it, how it got started, and what is it for those who haven't been there?
Well, it started as the dream of my grandfather, William Larson Sr., who was the first magician in our family. He actually was a criminal defense attorney and a magician, and his big dream was to have a club for magicians, but he passed away before that dream was realized. Meanwhile, his sons, Bill and Milt, were still in the magic business, and Milt worked right up the street at Hollywood and Highland and used to look from his office at the Ralph Edwards studio, saw this dilapidated old mansion and just had to get his hands on it, which he did. And he personally, him being a carpenter, my uncle, he salvaged things from all over town when they were tearing all these Victorian mansions down in the mid-60s, early 60s. He would go get all that beautiful mahogany and the paneling and the trim and all of this stuff. And he and his friend John Shrum installed it all in the Magic Castle. And my dad revived the Academy of Magical Arts, which my grandfather also started. And they had a magic club on their hands.
You know, as we looked at those images, it's such a stately place. It's so impressive as you're driving down Franklin, is it, that you see this place. And the castle got a new owner last year, the founder of a video game company, Gearbox Entertainment, Randy Pitchford. Is this a good thing for the future of the Magic Castle?
It's a great thing. And I want to start by saying the Magic Castle has two new owners. It's Randy and Christy Pitchford, who are two of my best friends. And it's a fabulous thing for the Magic Castle. They want nothing more than to see the Magic Castle remain as it is and to thrive and to get even better in the future and to keep the magic alive.
You know, as we're looking at this video right here, this is what I remember. Small parlor rooms, things behind bookshelves. Describe it a little bit.
Well, it's so great because many people who are there for the first time, which are the members' guests, they don't know where they are. They get so turned around because it is just a series of little staircases and hidden areas. And just, it doesn't look like anything else. And part of that is because it's truly authentic, because everything did come from someplace. Everything does have a history. It breathes history. And of course, the number one element is the magic. So in all these nooks and crannies, there are magicians doing magic tricks. And it's just a very magical, I would say confusing, but in the best possible way, place that we always say it's bigger on the inside than the outside because it almost tunnels into the hill.
But Erica, tell me something. Is it going to change at all under this new ownership, or is it going to stay exactly the way it's been all these years?
We want it to stay the way it is. Currently, the tenants of the building is the Academy of Magical Arts, and we're hoping to find an arrangement where the Academy of Magical Arts continues to stay there with the members and all of that. And we want it to stay the same, but the building is an old building and it does need a lot of repair. So as it is repaired, it will always be repaired in the style that my uncle, you know, created it. That's Jack Goldfinger, our entertainment director, right?
Is Randy a magician?
He is absolutely a magician.
He is.
And in fact, yep, he's a magician. He started his career as a magician. He used to work at Wizards at Universal City Walk.
Yeah.
He and his wife got married at the Magic Castle in the early 90s. And he is completely devoted to magic. And in fact, Randy is a businessman and many, many things. I've never seen him more excited than when he's performing magic.
How does the castle and the Academy of Magical Arts support itself?
It's food and beverage. It's the restaurant that is where the money comes from.
Got it.
So it's a very, very successful restaurant.
It's so impressive. You look at this magician right here. Mm-hmm. Some of this is just sleight of hand sort of things. You know, you got to kind of be close up and to appreciate what these magicians do.
Oh, it's incredible. The hours of practice that they spend is phenomenal. And you really have to care about your craft to spend the time to perform magic so that nobody knows what you're doing. It's not an easy thing to do.
So under Randy, will we see any changes at all?
I will say that if there will be improvements to the building. He and Christy are very eager to make some upgrades and just really make improvements. There used to be a lot of gimmicks at the castle and fun stuff, and they kind of want to, if anything, they want to bring it back more to how we remember it, even better. Like, I don't even know how to describe it, but when I was growing up, it was very gothic and monstery and kind of, you know, they want to keep the real, they were big, big fans of Milt's.
What about the legendary dress code you've had there?
We are definitely going to keep the dress code.
Oh.
There is a lot of talk because the dress code probably could be modernized, but there will always be a dress code. We firmly believe in the dress code, and we firmly believe no cameras, no pictures at the Magic Castle. We don't want people with their cell phones all over.
Am I dressed the right way to come to the Magic Castle?
You are welcome to come in tonight. You can just leave the studio and come right up.
All right, Erica Larson, thanks so much for joining us. And before the next line, let me just say this. Abracadabra, Fox 11 News and Death will continue right after this break. And finally, if you want to hear an audio version of this program, just check out my podcast. You know what it's called. It's called What the Hell. And it's available wherever you subscribe to podcasts or just go to whatthehellpodcast.com. That's it for this week's Fox 11 News In Depth. Thanks so much for joining us. Have a great week, everybody, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.